Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Business Spotlight. I am Scott McMeans with Action Coach SBL, and I'm blessed today to be here with Russ Bates from Next Gen Clean Energy. We're going to talk about a variety of things today. More importantly, we're going to talk about Russ and how he's gotten to the place he is right now because he's a pretty good businessman. Russ, why don't you do me a favor and introduce yourself to the audience?
All right, Scott, thanks for having me. As you mentioned, Russ Bates, my company's Next Gen Clean Energy Solutions. A quick background on me. I came from the fossil fuel power generation sector. So what's that mean? That means burning coal. That means burning natural gas to produce electricity. So an IBEW electrician by trade, came up through the ranks. I've been in the power gen from one section of it to the other. So from where they dropped the coal in at the coal yard all the way to the stacks where the emissions come out, right? So all the way across done things in many of these power gen plants, transitioned into natural gas, and then finally transitioned into clean energy. And that's where Next Gen Clean Energy Solutions came from.
That's outstanding. It's amazing to think somebody started off as an electrician, as you made comment to, and now they've been exposed to all the different ways that electricity gets generated, and you find yourself at Next Gen Clean Energy. So, what is it about Next Gen Clean Energy that we should know about?
Well, in a nutshell, we're a one-stop shop, concept to completion, single point of contact company for clean energy and sustainability solutions. So what does that mean? We're not trying to boil the ocean by any means at all, but what we are able to do, Scott, is connect people and bring those solutions together. So we'll do consultation work, we'll do project development work, and also the implementation. We're not doing installation work ourselves. We have a lot of partners, and we can talk about that too, as far as doing that install work. But anything from solar, which is that's the hot one, right? That's what people are really talking about. Roof mount, ground mount, solar canopies, ground mount systems, even water mount systems, if you will. So all kind of solar, wind, primarily micro wind turbines. So we can do that. Battery storage, EV charging, solar lighting. So just think street parking lot lighting, roadway lighting, and then something else called smart poles, which is a variation of that street parking lot lighting, where you can have cameras and Wi-Fi projection, gunshot detection, license plate, and facial recognition. So all those types of things too, and bring those together and actually put the project in, bring financing to the project. That's always a big concern. And then fully implement that project, provide that additional bandwidth to project manage and be that owner's representative, kind of holding the client's hand all the way through that process. And then after the fact, you still got some operation and maintenance to take care of. We can help with that too, and just make the whole process very, very simple for our clients, because this can be pretty complicated, right? It can be overwhelming and a bit scary, and we want to take that away and get these projects in place and save our clients a lot of money, check sustainability boxes at the same time.
That's a fantastic checklist right there.
Yeah.
When you're looking in the marketplace, who are customers that come to you looking for these one-stop solutions from, like you said, design and all the way through implementation and then maintenance? What kind of people are you looking for?
A lot of different folks. So we've got some big clients. L'Oreal, they're a client of ours. Parker Hannifin, they're a client of ours. We are working with school districts. We just were awarded a contract with the San Antonio Independent School District, 100 school facilities, around 50,000 students. We're going to get in there and see what we can do to save those folks money with clean energy and take care of some sustainability initiatives that they've got. So really, anybody that's using electricity or has sustainability initiatives they want to take care of, we can help them with that. And we customize, because not every client is going to be the same, right? What's important to, let's say, a L'Oreal may not be important to, let's say, a mom and pop shop that's doing some manufacturing. So we want to really put that owner's hat on and see what's going to be the best solution. Our goal with every single client we work with is to save money. that's the big thing, right?
Sure.
If they can't save money, then that's something that we have to look at. Maybe they won't save money today. Maybe it's going to be down the road. Maybe a project shouldn't happen today. Maybe it should be 5 years from now. We want to help figure that out and kind of sort through and really put that owner's hat on and really see it through their eyes.
Outstanding. Russ, is there a process or a value system that NextGen uses that separates you from the marketplace? What is it about NextGen that's so different and unique that you'd want to tell our audience about?
Well, that's a good question. There's so many, what I'll say, solar companies out there, EV charging companies, consultation companies, right? But there's really no one out there right now, and I'm sure that's going to change, but that comes in and looks at things the way that the NextGen does. So whenever we're going in, again, we put those glasses on and try to see through the perspective of that client what's going to be best for their business or organization. We don't go in and just say, all right, solar, 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 like a solar company may do. Maybe it's solar, probably is, but maybe it's wind, maybe it's some other type of tech that we bring to the table. Maybe it's a combination of all of those to solve
right.
that solution or come up with that solution for that client, solve that problem. So I think our value as far as what's going to be best for that client, even if it's saying, hey, I wouldn't do anything today. Let's say it's a roof mount system. All right, you're going to be replacing that roof in 2 years. Let's wait till then, or let's see what we can do to get that roof replaced with the project and roll all those mm-hmm. costs into one. It really varies. So I'd say our customization and really looking out for the client, that's customer service. That's I would call a big differentiator for us.
I like that. And the fact that you do listen to your clients is probably one of the most important aspects of your sales process, right? Because when people tell you something, it's good to listen to what they're saying and implement that according to what's best for them. So that's a good key. So what I'm interested to learn about, how many people you have working at NextGen and what's the environment like as far as what's the culture? What's the vision and mission that you'd like to explain so people understand that's the kind of company I really want to tap into and have my company work with?
No, another good question, Scott. You've done this before, I think. So what's important to us is we want our employees. We've got people all over the U.S. So we're right now it's pretty much remote how we're working. We started off in an office setting. Decided to make some changes, looking for some different office space. So long story short, we're like, all right, let's just work remotely and see how we're doing. Because honestly, everybody we were talking to, whether it's L'Oreal or Parker Hannifin, you name it, most of them are working from the house. There's a lot of more remote work going on. So we're like, let's try this for a little bit. Now we're going to get back in an office, I think probably late this year, 2025, just because it's going to make sense to do that. But as we're growing, but what we found, Scott, is what's really important is passion and wanting to be able to make a difference. We love people to have all kind of knowledge and, a bunch of letters behind their name. That's impressive up to a point, but really it's the atmosphere and the knowledge of wanting to do more, if I can call it that. That drive to really make a difference, that's something that's really important to us. So knowing that when you go and see a client, it's what's important to that client. And that point you made earlier about listening, somebody told me, I guess it was my dad, he said, listening isn't waiting for your turn to talk. It's actually taking in what's being said and digesting that into what does that mean? So I don't know if I really gave you a good answer there, Scott, but That's kind of what we look for.
Russ, you've given me a great answer because you've summarized it, or if I may, I'll summarize it in the following way. You're looking for people that fit into your atmosphere, and the atmosphere includes people that want to drive to do more, and they have a passion to make a difference in the clients they work with. And you give the autonomy for somebody to work from home or from a remote location. If that's not a really clear message as far as the kind of company you are, I don't know how much more clear I can make it. So I appreciate that because that's really straightforward. What I'm interested, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, thanks. I think you hit the nail on the head there.
I appreciate that. And again, I'm sure your employees appreciate it because I had a discussion with somebody just the other day, and the word autonomy kept coming up in the conversation. I finally said, autonomy is not a four-letter word. If you give people the autonomy and the authority to do the things that are necessary for their job to be done efficiently and effectively, 9 out of 10 times they're going to take you up on it and they're going to do a great job. So give people the autonomy and let them work, as opposed to micromanaging them and expecting them to do what you want. You got to give people the autonomy. You hired them to do a job, right? And you want them to, one, feel fulfilled that they're doing a job. And secondly, and none less important, you want those people to have the ability to take a risk, to bring something new to the table that no one has thought of yet, and it might be the best solution. And thinking about the way you interact with your clients, it makes complete sense. Let's listen to what they're saying and let's figure out what their wants and their needs are. And one of the things I love about the sales process, and you seem to articulate this very well, is you need to find out what somebody wants and then give them what they need, because that's what's the best thing for that client. It sounds like you guys have got that nailed. So that's awesome. Now that we're talking about all the great things, I want to ask you some of the challenges that Russ and NextGen have found over the years that somebody can learn from. So what are some of the bigger challenges, or a big challenge that you can think about that is a really good showcase of how to face a challenge and how to fix it?
The biggest challenge we see, Scott, is with the knowledge of the tech, right? So think, let's use solar as an example. The solar technology has changed and advanced so much over the last decade, for sure. Certainly in the last 20 years. I remember looking at solar, back in the early, 2000s, thinking, ah, that's nice, that's cute, it works for my calculator. But is this really going to be able to power, my house or this manufacturing facility? And the answer was, well, kind of, not really, but it sure wasn't economical to do so. And times have changed, right? The price of these panels have dropped 80 something percent. I can't even keep track of what it is anymore because they just keep changing. But it's dropped significantly in the past decade, while the efficiency has gone up. So instead of, let's say, a 250, 275 watt panel you would see a decade ago, now you're at 550 and 600, and you're getting up into much higher wattage panels, and the price is much lower. So you become much more efficient and your price has dropped. That equals a transition, which is what we're seeing now. But not everybody sees that, right? So we've talked to clients. Yeah, we looked at solar and it just didn't make sense. Okay, well, tell me more. Well, we looked at it. It was like 2014. Oh, well, yeah, 2014 was a long time ago. Let's take a look now. And you start explaining, and they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then you can maybe turn something into a project that saves them money. And again, I always say check that, those sustainability boxes. So you have that lack of information, if you will, because again, it's changing pretty quickly, Scott. It's every day there's something new seemingly coming out. And then you've also got the political aspect of it. Not everybody wants to see solar and wind and these types of things because the fossil fuels are being burned for a lot of the energy we're getting right now. And I know that's the life I lived for a long time. And you've got those business interests that end up turning political that will start pushing things out. There's some misinformation out there. Some is innocent and some is not so. And so those are some of the challenges we've had, is just the education piece of it. That's the biggest challenges. And how do we overcome that? We're still overcoming it. The entire industry is. So it's a transition and it takes time. But those are some of the obstacles we're definitely seeing.
Sure. And I love the connection to the political aspect, because there is a separation between the education component and the political component. No matter what side of the coin you're on, and I find your position very interesting, because you come from fossil fuels, so you understand it, and you're looking at the next generation, you understand it. You're trying to merge that gap to say, you maybe the best solution for you right now is to keep on your current track, but down the road in 3 years or less, you should really take a look at a new solution. And it's interesting how politics seems to either squish it together or drive it so far apart that the education gets lost because people are not willing to listen to one side or the other and have a mind open enough to receive information through a filter other than the one they have politically aligned themselves to. So I give you credit. That's got to be the one of the difficult, most difficult parts about what you're doing.
It's very difficult. It's one that, you know, you try to manage the right way. So my best friend, I'm originally from Southern Indiana, which Southern Indiana is kind of coal country for that part of the state. A lot of coal mines, a lot of coal-fired power plants. I grew up on what used to be a former coal mine. You know, my best friend today, he still goes down in the mine. He's a coal miner himself. We talk about this stuff all the time. You know, my great grandfather, my grandfather, you know, a lot of ties in that coal industry. So I always tell people it's a transition. We're not saying let's wipe out fossil fuels today. In fact, I always say, you know, this is a transition. If I could snap my fingers and get rid of fossil fuels right now, it would be the wrong move. We still need them. We still have that social economic transition to go through where people are getting into these new jobs. And I tell people all the time, if I can do it, I transition from fossil fuels to clean energy. If I can do it, I promise anybody can, because I'm not that special. But it's just helping people to understand that, right? Let them know there is a path forward. And it's not going to end today. I mean, we've got, I don't know how many years, it may be decades still of fossil fuel use in this transition. So there's still going to be jobs for a long time, right? But those jobs are going to start to go away as we progress. But where one job goes away, there's another one that opens up in this clean energy sector. So those are things that I want people to keep in mind.
No, I appreciate that, Russ, because I think as you and I are talking, and the political side of this is very intriguing because it's in the forefront, but it's also in the back of everybody's mind, right? As far as one side of the coin that you agree with. And the one comment that I think you made is the comment that most people kind of breeze right over. They know it, but they breeze right over it. And that was the transition from social economic reliance to new energy is not going to happen overnight, and it can't happen overnight. So let's be smart and realize we can do this with intelligent application and implementation, as opposed to the expectations that are wrongly placed on what you're trying to do. And I think it's admirable that you have that mindset of there's a foundation of what we have, but yet we all understand we need to move forward, but it can't happen overnight. And I give you kudos to that, because that can't be an easy sea to navigate.
It's not easy to navigate at all. You're right, Scott. It's one of those things where, again, you mentioned it earlier, having that open mind is so incredibly important. And some people just don't have that. And that's okay. I mean, 20 something years ago, I didn't really have an open mind about it. You know, I was like, whatever. I don't see this happening. But as time went on, I got a little bit older. I started thinking a little bit more about it. I started doing research on my own. All right, here's what this article says. Here's what this news outlet says. What's true? What's not? All right, these are common within them. That makes sense. If I just go to one source, all right, they're going to say one thing. So I really encourage people to do your own research. Don't take my word for it. You know, take it with a grain of salt and see what you find out. And that's cool. But you do have to have that open mind. And that's something that not everybody is willing to go down that path, I guess.
Yeah, open mind is an appropriate way to phrase it. I've kind of hung my hat on the phrasing of critical thinking. Like, have the ability to take information from multiple sources, whether you agree with them or not, and apply a critical thought process to it. And then the outcome of that is your own. You're not being influenced by somebody else's suggestion. You're just simply taking data from different spots and bringing together your own critical thought. And I think that's most important. And that goes in line with what you said about having an open mind. And all this rolls back to, Russ, it's your sales process that kind of mirrors that critical thought process, right? It's here, you have a problem with your current energy needs. Here are possible solutions. Let's look at all of what you want, all of what you need, and let's build the most appropriate plan based on your current structure, what you plan to be, and what we can do to make that happen. That's a critical thought process that starts, finishes with the appropriate solution being presented. And that is, in my opinion, what makes NextGen a very different company from anybody else. So again, kudos for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to ask you about lessons learned. Okay. If you think about over the course of time, NextGen has been built into this organization, but it didn't happen smoothly. And much like a transition that we're talking about from old to new kind of energy, it doesn't happen overnight. So what are some of the lessons that you can speak to or want to have other people learn from that would be appropriate for my audience?
Lessons learned. There's a lot of them, and we learn them every day. There's something I'm going to say each and every day. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to adjust this and go in that direction. I know something to start off, which was when we started the company, it was very disheartening, was going to some of these established like solar installation companies. You know, that's all they do is solar, or some of the EV charging companies, and explain to them, here's what we're doing, and we'd like to get you opportunities, right? So it's more of a kind of a marketing thing for them, being able to bring opportunities for them to bid on. And something I figured out pretty quick, Scott, was I call them the godfathers of solar, or the godfathers of EV charging. These folks that have been around for a while and really kind of blazed that trail, some of them have a chip on their shoulder. They're like, yeah, I went through this when it was really hard, and now everybody just wants to jump on this bandwagon. And we had to kind of write some of those folks off pretty quick. It was like, all right, they don't want to work with us. They're doing their own thing, and that's great. That's fantastic. But I guess point being, not everybody's going to want to do what we're doing. Not everybody's going to buy mm-hmm. in. You got to select your partners the right way. We got that's to where so we funny. Select our clients. We used to, I don't know if it's a saying I've got. I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, Scott, so you can edit this if you want. Well, we used to, I'd say, I always say we'll bend over backwards to help our clients and our partners, but we won't bend over forwards. And we were bending over forwards a bit, right? So that's something we've changed a little bit. We'll work with anybody that really wants to do something, right? If they're just kicking tires, say that in mm-hmm. the beginning so we understand. But yeah. Some people just aren't going to do anything no matter what. And we've kind of got a process now that weed those folks out. And same thing with partners. We don't take on every single partner that comes our way. It's got to be the ones that are credible and that are going to be able to do those things that need to be done. Because we have a competitive bid process, right? So, you know, we've got 80 some partners, vendors, installers, EPCs, what have you. But it's every project's not a good fit for everyone. So we try to weed through those. So long answer to your very easy question mm-hmm. is we think it's really important to partner up with the right folks.
Yeah. What's interesting, Russ, is we started the conversation talking about the environment that is NextGen and how the people that you work with are not a mirror image, but a reflection of what NextGen stands for. And you just tied it all back to, we won't work with people that don't align with our morals, our vision, our mission, because they're a distraction more than anything else. And if they don't have the passion, if they don't have the drive to make a difference, that's somebody you don't want to partner with. And that's completely understandable, because you only move forward with people that are on the boat with you. They're either rowing in the same direction as you, or they're an anchor, and you're not going to go very far if you have anchors. So I appreciate you tying a complete knot around the idea of, we only work with and partner with people that align with our vision, mission, and culture. So that's a good thing. Last question. If you were to sit down on a park bench next to 18-year-old Russ, what would you say? What would you tell him?
Wow. How long do I have to talk to this 18-year-old?
Well, you got a couple minutes to tell him, but I'm curious, what would you tell him?
Yeah, I would definitely, the 18-year-old version of me is much, much different than who I am now. But I don't think I would change a whole lot, because if I didn't go through a lot of those things I went through, then I wouldn't be where I'm at today. not that I can't be a lot further along and different things, but I guess the advice I would give is to watch and listen and take in as much knowledge as possible. That 18-year-old version of me, man, I didn't want, you know, you're 18. You don't want to really educate. You want to party and enjoy life. And I'm glad I did that. Don't get me wrong. But I would say as I grew a bit older, just taking in and listening to those elders, right? I think of that. You know, I've got three stepchildren now, ranging from 15 to 19 years in age, and I see what they're doing, and I'm like, oh man, listen to this, but you don't really listen, right? It's hard to, sure, because when you're that age, you know everything, or at least I thought I did, right? And wow, I did not. So just listening and understanding from others' life experiences, what you can glean from that, and you know, pick who you want to be like, and then maybe follow that path, do what they did. I think that's a key component, because, you know, if you want to get to where somebody else is, do what that person did, you know, for the most part.
That is awesome. That is awesome. experience matters. It's interesting. Most people that answer that question answer it with, well, I wouldn't change anything because I wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't go through the experiences that I went through. But in essence, most people will answer very similar to what you said, which is shut up, watch, listen to what other people around you are telling you, and learn. And that's a great thing. Your advice of pick somebody you want to be and follow them, perfect advice. And with that, I think that's a great conclusion to the business spotlight today. Any last words, Russ?
No, I really appreciate you having me on, Scott. And you know, hopefully somebody gleans a little bit of information from this. Always happy to talk to anyone and see what I can do to help them out.
Perfect. I will have Russ's information on the description below, so you'll be able to get a chance to click on the website, visit, learn as much as you can, and get in touch if you have any questions. So, Russ, thank you for being on the show. We definitely appreciate it. And we'll see everybody on the next episode of the Business Spotlight.